This is GKW. Welcome to another edition of Good Karma Wrestling, the Royal Rumble edition of GKW. I'm Gabe Neitzel from ESPN Milwaukee with the entire crew today. Brian Rowitz from ESPN West Palm, and catch him on ESPN 1000 in Chicago. He is Jonathan Hood. All right, let's go ahead, dive head first right into it. We'll do this with the women later in the show, but we're kicking it off. Tell me, who are the last four men standing in the men's Royal Rumble?
Ric Flair with a tear in his eye. That was 92. I beg your pardon.
Charlotte worked it into her video package last week, though. Good job by her there.
Did see that. Yeah. All right, so we're going to need some help here. So I'm trying to figure out how Penta can get into the final four. He's the hot name right now. Can Penta get himself into that final four, like in the middle, Gabe, like middle, like 15, 16, but he lasts in the final four, gets eliminated first. But again, he's the hot name. Why not Penta in that spot?
So I had him on my list.
Oh, no, this is the most star-studded Royal Rumble of all time, and we're going to put Penta in the final four?
Sure, no. Because in almost every final four Rumble, there's this outlier. Someone that's just that you don't expect, or someone's going to be there for 60 minutes to get eliminated toward the end, something like that. So Penta would be one. Somehow I feel like Seth Rollins will be there toward the end. Somehow I feel like John Cena will be around, and CM Punk, my ultimate winner of the Royal Rumble.
You're not putting the Tribal Chief in the final four?
I'm not, no. There'll be some chicanery. Things happen, you know.
He's not showing up unless he's in the final four.
Oh, is that it? He's not going to show up.
He's not going to the hour and a half? He's not going from one to the end?
Then put me in the first match.
Here's the thing. The Rumble, put me in the first match. That's not happening. The Rumble, the Men's Royal Rumble, the most stacked Men's Royal Rumble we've ever seen, clearly going on last at this card. Roman's going to stick around all night and show up and not last to the Men's Final Four? Come on.
That's right. That's right. Well, you asked me. Do you want me to turn off my camera? Because you asked me my final four.
Yeah. Now I'm ridiculing said final four.
This might upset him, Hood, but I don't have Roman in my final four either.
See? See? Not so outlandish. You see that? Yeah. Now he's leaving. Now he's
out. No. I dropped my pen all over the place. I don't know what's going on.
All right. So tell us, Brian, about Sami Zayn winning it all.
I did not write down Sammy's name. You guys are more than welcome to throw that out there, and the Sami KO main event will be the best ever, but I did not write down Sammy's name. Just throwing that out there.
Okay.
I have Penta. I agree with that. I have Cena. That's who I have ultimately winning it. I have Punk, and I have Cody, because I think Cody drops the belt to KO, and he finds his way back in, and then we sort of set up a Cody-Punk or a Cody-Cena. So Cena, Punk, Cody, and Penta are my final four.
So I think I'm entering this Royal Rumble with – I'm cool with anybody winning but Cena. Like, I don't want Cena winning this thing. I'm in the anyone but Cena, but I do believe Cena is in that final four. Like, in the biggest star-studded – like, we're going to have stars in that final four. I understand Penta's hot. Penta's not lasting to the final four. So I've got Punk, Roman, Cena certainly as those three. I did, and then I'm debating between Drew and Sammy being that last one, because Sammy has been put in really huge spots as of late. I don't think Sammy ultimately wins, but they're propping Sammy up to have a really good road to WrestleMania, which I believe starts with him being in that final four. So that's where I'm kind of leaning. I could be talked out of Sammy to Drew, but I just, again, can't imagine Roman not being in that. And I think Punk ultimately wins as well. Again, I don't know what that means for WrestleMania, but I just think you have to capitalize on Punk while he's hot, while he's healthy. And I think you have to have him win that Royal Rumble. But I think you have to have your biggest stars in Cena and Roman also in that final four.
I'd like to ask a few questions about the Royal Rumble, if I may. Is Jacob Fatu in the Royal Rumble?
I don't believe so.
Boy, see, now this is where Roman gets screwed, because Fatu is a wild animal and anything can happen. All of a sudden he just comes out of nowhere and just starts splashing people, and then he's eliminated. See, that's the thing. There's an incomplete list. We need to know more. And by the way, in my second question is about Cody. We don't know match order yet for the Royal Rumble, do we?
No. I mean, we assume it's a 4-match card. The 2 Rumbles, the 2 out of 3 fall tag match, the ladder match. We assume women's tag title, ladder match men's?
I only ask because you have Cody in the Rumble, so Cody KOs first, and then enters the Rumble afterwards.
They end up, ladder match, and then he comes out at like 24.
Yeah, because the men's Royal Rumble is going to be the main event.
Yes.
That's going to be the last thing on the card, because you got to have the fireworks going off as the guy's pointing to the sign, and we fade to black, or last year when Cody decided to go into business for himself and point at Roman, you know, things like
that.
We
won't see the champions this year, right? Like, they're just pointing at the sign so they can cover.
Yeah, it's the smart thing. Smart thing to do. Oh, wow. Wow, Brian. Brian made a suggestion, and then somehow Triple H pulled the cord somewhere. I don't know what happened.
My bad.
But yes, I think they should cover their ass and make sure the champions aren't out there. Unless Punk wins, we know Punk's going after the WWE title. He made that very clear as they closed out Monday Night Raw on Netflix.
Well, that's the other thing. Like, as star-studded as this match is, like, it's a numbers game. Like, all the guys we've mentioned could be Final Four. Jey Uso, like, the way they've been pushing him, he could be a Final Four guy. Not everyone could be the Final Four in a Rumble that is this big, which is speaks to the match, I guess.
Was Uso out there for 60 minutes last year? Jey Uso? Somebody was out there long. Could you check the time?
Yeah.
I feel like Uso was out there a long time last year. Someone has to be able to have that thing that they're out there for a while.
Well, so then on the flip end, who do you have as 1-2? Because that could be another opportunity to shine some guys.
Well, that's a great question. 1-2. So Carmelo Hayes has to leave soon. So you want him out there that early?
Quickly, Jay was the Iron Man last year. Him and Jimmy entered 1-2. Jay came in at number 1, lasted 50 minutes and 55 seconds before eliminated by Gunther.
That's it. I knew someone's got to be the Iron Man in these things, as you well know. And I don't know. I think that might
Penta be. Penta can be the Iron Man.
Oh, God. Sweating through the mask. Tired. Tapping out. Just get me out of here, please.
See, that's where I had as a chance for Sammy and Jay. I have Sammy and Jay as 1-2.
Sammy and Jay. Wow.
Star because the right Jay about. Entrance doesn't work in the Rumble. Like, if there's only a minute and a half or 2-minute clock, his entrance takes 17 minutes. So you put him out first, and you get that all out of the way.
That's a good point. Uso!
Oh, God. The Rumble's over.
three other guys have come out since then.
Oh, no.
He's still out there yeeting in the crowd.
It's like the NFL draft. He's then
eliminated
because
other people. Here comes Grayson Waller.
Right.
They're calling out the names, but yet still Uso's music is going on. The whole music, it's like an ECW match. It's just like it just goes on for the entire time. What about the other competitors? No, let's just bring out all the rappers from Atlanta. Let's bring them all out. Let's just yeet the whole time. Win Michael Cole. He'll be winded out there.
Yes.
Yeeting. Uh-huh. Just so great. 1-2 is but and Gabe, this is really the question for you because this is your favorite event. You love the Royal Rumble. So tell us, what do you think is best to get this party started? 1-2 to start off the Royal Rumble.
So we have again, this is like unprecedented. 15 men have been declared into the Royal Rumble. We know half of the field, which is just so rare. So I think one of those, at least one of those has to go in one. My guess is, I mean, I guess you could go Sami Zayn. I think LA Knight, I think, would have a good pop to kind of start. So maybe I'd go. Man, Jay being one of the first two years in a row just doesn't feel great.
Logan Paul, LA Knight?
Yeah, I think you could do Logan Paul, LA Knight, kind of relight that. Because they always like to get cute with the first two, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you're either reigniting a past rivalry. That last year it was Jimmy and Jay who were first in. They like to get, very rarely is it just, two random guys. Like, they have some sort of little story to tell until number 3 comes out.
Well, to that point, could it be Rollins Punk? Does Punk have the Iron Man in him?
Oh, dumbass son-in-law, huh? How about number 2? Dumbass son-in-law, huh? his shoulder breaks.
I believe it was Doofus. I believe the word was Doofus, son-in-law.
Doofus, son-in-law. How about Tua? Oh, no. He'll never make it.
I mean, you could go a number of different directions. You could go Rollins. You could do Rollins, Roman. You could do Rollins, ooh, McIntyre.
Does Roman have an hour in him, though?
No.
It doesn't really feel like it. Unless he does like the Miz hour of he rolls under the bottom rope and disappears for a half hour.
That's always good in the Rumble, too, by the way. The hidden component. Like, you know what? I forgot about that guy. Where is he? There he is underneath the ring. I love that. That's all the old Bobby the Brain Heenan trick from years ago in the Battle Royals.
That also falls into the long entrance thing. Like, Roman's entrance doesn't fit in this match.
No.
So we need, Gabe, we need stamina at the beginning. So I'm voting for Logan Paul to just because people will be booing him, and you know he's going to have a lot of great moves in there.
God, how sick would it be if it was Paul Bunny to start?
Oh,
I mean, I would take Paul and Penta.
Paul Penta.
Paul Penta would be fun.
Paul Gable.
Yeah.
Yeah, again, there's so many different ways you can go because we know so many of them. Like, the combinations are endless. I feel like the last couple of Rumbles, you've almost felt, okay, here we go. Like, it's going to be disappointing. Like, this one, I am so hyped up for. I am just so incredibly hyped for this Rumble because of all the names that they've thrown in there. And there might be a surprise or two, but over on the women's side, where, you know, they finally started announcing some women on SmackDown and Raw after having just like a handful announced before that. Like, there could be a ton of surprises coming in over there. So you still have the surprises. You'll have some legends in the women's one that come out, and that'll be exciting. And then the men's is just, again, the most star-studded one we've ever seen. It is going to be a great Saturday night.
Yep.
I agree with you. For those in the comments that are giving us Joe Hendry, Hendry seems more like 10, 11, here's Joe Hendry, that kind of thing.
Joe Hendry's going to be eliminated by Drew McIntyre, right? Like, he seems like the type of guy that McIntyre can't just stand.
I want to see that, sure. Yeah. I want him having one elimination and then get out.
Yeah.
Maybe do we get a face-to-face of Cena and Hendry? No, maybe he's going to be – because Cena won't be in until, what, 26?
Yeah, like Cena, Cena's in the 20s. I think Roman is in the 20s.
Well, I feel like Cena or Roman is 30.
See, that's where the money is. That's where the Royal Rumble pool comes in, man. To have the right prediction of who's going to be where, that's where the money is. I like that.
Like, there'll be 11 guys left in the ring. 30 will hit. Roman will come out. And by the time he gets to the ring, it'll be him and one other guy.
So technically Roman, it looks like a final four, but Roman's not to the ring yet. So it's really a final five.
Right.
Then some guys get eliminated before Roman gets in.
And The Rock will be 31.
Yep.
He'll make
it. That's the second time you've made that joke, but that would legitimately be so sick. Like, heel Rock going, nope, I'm so powerful. This year it's 31. Here I come. And he wins. That would be awesome. That would be really good storytelling.
But how does that pay out when you pull numbers? You know, when does the Rumble games, how does it pay out if 31 wins?
House wins. It's like if you hit, you know, green in roulette.
Okay.
He just comes out with his own number. 31. Yeah. It's like at the deli. Yeah. I'm 31. That's what he does. He gets his own number. He calls his own number. He's like, you know what? It's been 30 for all these years, or the greatest Royal Rumble is 40. You know what? I'm 31. I'm entering. So he takes on whoever is the quote-unquote winner, throws him over the top rope, and then The Rock is the winner of the Royal Rumble.
I mean, there's something there.
Yeah, God, that would be good. That would be something. Last time he appeared at a Rumble, he got booed. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was more Roman was getting booed, and then he got booed adjacent. But he would – I mean, he'd still get booed, but it'd be like the good kind of booing.
And I feel like I believe that a lot more if Cody retains.
Yes.
Which is going to happen, right?
Better not.
I hope not.
I want him to win in the first Saturday Night's main event. That's what I wanted. So, but I mean, who knows? I just, this is why it's very interesting what Triple H is doing, guys. And this is great booking. They are trying to swerve us every week on Raw and SmackDown, especially on Raw. Like, what if it's this person going after Cody? Then CM Punk with that great promo against Cody. And what about Seth Rollins? And what about Drew McIntyre? And what about Sami Zayn? Like, they're doing a great job of just trying to do the FBI on us with the wall and all the yarn on every picture, trying to make us think. And you know it's only going to be one thing. But they're giving us all these examples of what could happen. And I just think that's great booking.
All right, we'll get to the Women's Royal Rumble coming up in just a little bit. We've got to dive into some of the other top stories in the world of professional wrestling. We call it the three count here on GKW. Brian, what's number one this week?
Paul Heyman interviewed Variety talking about Roman Reigns being on the cover of WWE 2K25. Says Roman is wrestling's undisputed top box office attraction and, quote, the number one star in the entire industry. So if Roman's number one, who is the number two overall star in all of pro wrestling?
I think WWE wants us to believe it's Cody. I don't think it's Cody. I still think that CM Punk is a bigger star than Cody Rhodes. And I think he is the second biggest star right now in all of professional wrestling, which is why I maintain the biggest thing they can do at Rumble is Roman versus Punk. Again, still don't know how we get there necessarily. I think that's the biggest match they can do. And if that's the biggest match they can do, those are the two biggest stars in pro wrestling today.
Is Roman the number one star in all of wrestling today, or is the Bloodline storyline the number one factor in professional wrestling? See, that's the thing. Like, the Bloodline has made Roman. Roman's also made the Bloodline at the same time. Don't get me wrong. But like, to say Roman's number one, I think the Bloodline storyline is number one that he's involved in. Does that make him number one, Broitz?
But he's the main character of it all.
Right.
Well.
And, like, are we still yearning for stuff right now? Like, Solo's been gone for a couple weeks, and no one's like, oh, I wish Solo was still around. Like, Fatu's becoming a star, which I feel like is almost independent of the Bloodline.
Yeah, I can't come up with something else other than what Heyman said because of what Roman Reigns has been involved in as the number one guy in the Bloodline. But Cody Rhodes, because of this run, because of his popularity, the merchandise, he's got the Cena run that's going right now. He's doing everything. His calendar's filled. Cody is definitely a 1A or number two on that list, and it's deserved. He's on the Cena run now, doing the Cena schedule. This is what he wanted. So he's QB1 in that regard. So I would say that Cody would be second to Roman.
And I think there is something to that schedule and the fact that we see Cody out doing these things where Punk isn't hopping on shows and making the circuits and doing media stuff like that. You'll see him once in a while with some of the bigger names, but he doesn't feel like that. And Cody is the guy that I think sort of transcends it. Cody, you can plop as a guest spot on a random ass TV show and people will be into it. I don't know if Punk's doing stuff like that.
Yeah, but I don't know how many people, if you plop them in, know that Cody Rhodes is, oh, that's Cody Rhodes. He's a professional wrestler, right? Like, and I think you say the same thing as Punk. Like, Roman's the only one who's actually done, and part of it's because, you know, he's The Rock's cousin.
Right.
And he showed up, you know, he's done some movies. He's kind of done that. Like, I don't know. And same thing with Cena. Like, Cena eventually transitioned over into that world. Like, I don't know if, yeah, you can plop down Cody and he's going to look good in the suit, but if somebody's flipping through at, you know, midnight on a Wednesday and Cody Rhodes is the guest and you're flipping channels on Jimmy Fallon, I don't know. Oh, unless you know who Cody Rhodes is and you're in professional wrestling, I don't know if you're necessarily identifying him. Like, Roman, I think, is the only one who has a chance at that of the current active wrestlers. Which is why, so I don't, Cody's does a great job representing the company. I don't want to take away from that, but in terms of like the crowd reaction, in terms of just kind of, to me, that star power, I still think it's Punk.
Why are we plopping wrestlers on couches? I guess if you're going to go on the couch, you're going to plop on, you're not going to sit down.
Right.
It's the couch, right? You just plop down on the couch, right?
Yeah. Guys. No, that's what guys do. Yeah. Guys don't sit down on couches. You plop on couches.
You plop, right? That's what we'll do Saturday for the Royal Rumble, right? We'll just plop on the couch.
Yeah.
Time to plop.
Yeah. I'm not sitting down to watch. I'm plopping down.
Exactly. We're going to dinner, meeting at GKB. We sit down.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Sit down. Yes. Absolutely.
We sit down. We have a chit or chit chat. We're sitting down. But, you know, when it comes to wrestling, we just plop down.
The second a couch becomes involved, yes.
So let's do an exercise here when it comes to where CM Punk is in the hierarchy. So if we believe that Roman is one and Cody is a close second, so where's CM Punk? So is CM Punk a bigger star than Seth Rollins?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is CM Punk a bigger star than Rey Mysterio?
Yes.
Wow. Rey and all that acclaim, man. Mexico, WWE.
Yeah, no, look, I mean, in terms of his acclaim, sure. But, like, right now, especially when you take a look, like, Rey Mysterio's in the middle of the show. Punk leads off the show. Punk closes out the show. Punk is in the prime spots consistently, week in and week out, on Monday Night Raw.
So another one I would throw out there, using, like, the late night test, what about Charlotte?
The light is dimmed on Charlotte.
It has, but she still has that presence and that aura of like, oh, this person's a star.
Right now, no. By the time we get to Rumble, that could be heated up just like that. Just because she's been absent and that she didn't, when she's been absent because she's been rehabbing an injury. Like, it's not like she's been making public appearances over the last, you know, 10 months or whatever it's been that she's been out. But because she is who she is, like, that can get heated up very quickly. I think the same thing with Becky, because, like, there's been talk of her, you know, and she's gotten a couple of movie roles, and I think that certainly happens once she starts, okay, I'm going to start getting back into it. Like, I think you can make a case for Becky. I just don't know, because Becky's been gone long enough at this point, Charlotte's been gone even longer, that they're not quite there, but that could get heated up, and in 2 months they could be the number two star in pro wrestling.
Is Punk a bigger star than John Cena?
I don't think so.
Well, so that's why I'm trying to figure out where Cena is on that list, Gabe. Like, so where
was,
would
I was mean, Cena too? Because Cena's a bigger star than Cody.
Right.
Well.
So Cena might be too then. Especially during the retirement tour. If we, like, I mean, I know some people tweet this out, but it's not like it's readily available. Like, during this retirement tour, Cena's going to be the top merch seller in WWE. Like, if Cena doesn't sell the most t-shirts in 2025, I will be shocked.
And Logan Paul's bigger than them all.
Yeah. But, I mean, Cena, I was at a freaking McDonald's today, and he's there on the drive-thru screen. Like, just staring at you. I was like, oh, there's John Cena. Like, he's a star.
Well, then The Rock's number one. If we're throwing Logan Paul, like, yeah, then Rock's one, Paul's two, Roman's three, Cena's four.
Oh, we can have that conversation. That's interesting. Like, so Paul Heyman is saying that it's Roman Reigns, but then The Rock's got all the movies. He's made a comeback from being like done and washed to, oh, he made what? Was it $1 billion over the weekend or whatever it was? So we could put The Rock over. Could we put The Rock over Roman? He's a bigger star, The Rock.
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Sure. I think we've accomplished something here. You know what this is, guys? It's the NFL conversation. Like the Super Bowl coming up with Patrick Mahomes. He's the number one quarterback in the National Football League. And then we do the flow chart. If Mahomes stands alone by himself, then who's second? Who's third? Kind of the same conversation, right?
Yeah. Well, on the flip side, does AEW have any of these people?
No. Next. Okay. Nope.
Mercedes? MJF?
I think Mercedes and MJF have potential if they can get a really – because they do have crossover power. Like, again, Mercedes was in a wildly popular series in The Mandalorian on Disney+. Like, MJF is about to – I mean, if he receives good reviews for being in Happy Gilmore 2, more movie roles will come his way. But then that has to be paired with a hot storyline that people are going to start to care about over at AEW. Like, they have the potential, I think, to be on this list. Are they right there right now? It's the same answer to me as Charlotte and Becky. Like, yeah, there's some potential right there, certainly. But we'll see. I mean, right now, MJF coming out and laughing at Jeff Jarrett after he, you know, lost to the Death Riders. Like, that's not going to be getting MJF a lot of attention.
You see that? What you just laid out is that those are two great names, MJF and Mercedes. Imagine if the company pushed them out there that way, like WWE does with their guys. Like when WWE has someone that's in the movies, there's a trailer or there's something or something backstage or whatever. You don't see AEW doing that.
Yeah, it's weird they got away from that. Remember early on, Cody was on some random ass TBS like reality show where he was a judge to the point where I think he came back for a second season and when he was leaving AEW, but like you had that crossover, and like, we don't see that at all really anymore.
No, and they don't have, I mean, they don't put, I mean, to that point, they don't push anybody.
No.
It's not like they're pushing, hey, you know, I mean, Samoa Joe, and again, he's somebody else's voice acting, but I mean, he just came back from a set, you know, recording a second season of a television show that's had success on Peacock. And like, Samoa Joe, to me, especially as well spoken as he is, could be somebody making the rent, you know, late night rounds or stepping up. Like, really, nobody from AEW. And I don't know if it's because, you know, they. After they, it was one of their guys that had the appearance where somebody was like, oh, this is fake, right? And they got all pissed off during the TV, the local TV appearance.
No, I think that was Waller, I think.
Oh, that was Grace Waller. Yeah, you're right. That was Grace. I was misremembering that.
I think it might have been Australia too. Or I think it was international. I know he got
it was. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now that you mentioned, yeah, that's right. The guy was, yeah.
But like, to the AEW point, why then aren't they using it? Like, why do we not see an MJF on Inside the NBA? Like one of those guys sitting at the desk with Chuck and Shaq and just getting more eyes on the product.
Yeah, especially because they've used Shaq in the past. Right. Like Shaq has wrestled for AEW, so I don't think like if you were to put MJF on an episode of Inside the NBA on a Tuesday, hey, we've got AEW coming up on Wednesday night, you guys should check it out. Like because Shaq is there, like you've got an ally. Like if Chuck just wants to be, oh, isn't this where you guys just fake punch each other? You know, you've got Shaq. Excuse me, to defend you in that instance, right? Like, so I think you could, but they don't. They don't push anybody out there. They don't do media in general.
This will pop Gabe, probably because I only had 3 hours of sleep. But this is gonna pop Gabe. So this goes back to you ask a great question. You ask a great question. You say, why is it that AEW does not have the same crossover with TNT Sports? You say why that is. And this goes back to the NWA when they were on TBS, right? So you would think that there'd be crossover from like the NBA and Braves baseball to promote Ric Flair. And instead of just saying, you know, on Braves baseball and saying, hey, we got NWA wrestling action coming up at 6:05 on the Superstation, you'd get Skip Carey saying, Ric Flair will be taking on Barry Windham. It says here, NWA wrestling. That should be on the up and up. 6:05 on TBS. Like taking a shot at the wrestling, calling it fake, right?
Yeah.
So, but there's no crossover there. How come Ric Flair wasn't in the booth with Skip Carey and Pete Van Wieren? Why? Yeah. Because they're like, ah, wrestling. Same thing the way that the NBA is treating AEW. There's going to be crossover, by the way, after the All-Star Saturday night. We're going to get Grand Slam Australia. You right. think that maybe from somebody from AEW should be there with Chuck and Kenny and EJ?
Yeah. One of them judge the dunk contest. Be one of the judges. Like, find a way to get your talent out there.
Thank you. But Skip Carey called it fake wrestling on Atlanta's TV on TBS.
Like, Ospreay judging such a good ship, the dunk Gary. Contest?
That's what he
I'd
said.
Be into that.
There you go.
Yeah.
Somebody who doesn't make the trip to Australia. Yeah. I mean, because the thing is, they have enough star power. Like, Cope has crossed over, been on a bunch of TV shows, and did a bunch of acting while he was out for those 9 years. Like, they've got enough people where they could put him out there where they would be recognizable enough. But
you're right.
They just, for whatever reason, promoting their own product has not been a priority for AEW.
So the answer to your question is for AEW, plenty of star power, but not on the same level as the guys we mentioned, talking about The Rock and Cody and Roman Reigns and Cena.
Yeah.
And Logan Paul.
Of course.
What do we got at number two? Bad Bunny too. What do we got at number two?
All right. News broke yesterday. Triple H was surprised by Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker to find out he will be headlining the WWE Hall of Fame Class of 2025 in Las Vegas. What is your reaction to Triple H headlining the class?
This is great. What was even better was his reaction to when it happened. Like, so if you didn't see the video, HBK, friend of show, of course, HBK, tweeted out a video, and it's shortened. They didn't do the whole thing. They edited it up. But, you know, they're hosting a town hall yesterday, and Nick Khan's out there, and Triple H, and they're just kind of talking. And all of a sudden, HBK's music hits. And, like, Triple H has this, like, what the bleep is going on right now? Why is Shawn coming out here? And then Taker's music hits, and they tell him he's going into the Hall of Fame. This is probably a little overdue. I know he's in as a member of DX, but they've done this with a lot of different people where they're, you know, two-time Hall of Famers. They go in as the character. They go in as a member of the famous faction that they were a part of. Triple H was one of the bigger stars of the Attitude Era. And he's well-deserved. I mean, I think he's, what, 14-time champ in WWE? Yeah, this makes all the sense in the world that he should be headlining a class.
So we're going to start the GKW Awards, and I'm putting myself in the Hall of Fame first. Is that okay?
Congrats. Yeah.
I mean, like, so since I'm going to head up the committee with the three of the other two of you, I'm going to put myself first into the Hall of Fame for GKW. Is that okay?
Because that's I don't think he was surprised. I think he knew.
That's the whole point. That's my point. It's like I'm just going to put myself in the Hall of Fame. He knew that he was going into the Hall of Fame. Here's the difference. He's not Vince. Vince would never put himself in the Hall of Fame because he didn't even want to be mentioned.
Right.
He would go after guys like, damn, pal, don't bring me up. We put you in the Hall of Fame. But they would bring his name up anyway, and he'd be embarrassed by it because Vince didn't like that. Triple H putting himself in the Hall of Fame, that's a choice. That's pretty good. It's not saying he's not deserving, but my God, man, not only in the Hall of Fame, but also faking like he was surprised, one and two, the head of the Hall of Fame, the face of it. Good for you, Triple H. Say one thing, he's not the old man. He put himself in the Hall of Fame, which is fantastic.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, so I also think the whole double inductee thing has sort of run its course. So he is number 10. And, like, you go through the list. I don't know if you guys want to guess. There are 9 wrestlers that have been inducted twice.
So, HBK, Ric Flair.
Yep.
Trying to think of other guys who have been in as individuals and factions.
Arn and Tully?
Nope, they're just one.
One's okay.
Trying to think of other factions. Probably, what, Nash and Hall?
Yep.
Because you got NWO. So, Hogan.
Yep.
So, Nash. So, what are we at? 5?
That's 5, yep.
So
there's two more individuals. So two more guys that have gone as an individual and part of a group. And then there's two guys that have twice gone in as part of groups or tag teams, but never individually.
That's wild.
Also, yeah. Barry Windham.
Yep.
Okay. Because of the Horsemen and the Windham Rotunda WrestleMania 1 tag team. When they were the US Six Reds. Strange.
Who else am I missing here? That's a two-timer.
Let's see, Horseman.
There's two more individual slot, and then a group, and then two more double group, or one more double group.
One more double group.
Is it DXC, something like that? Uh-huh. Is it so Sean Waltman?
Yep, two-timer before okay. Triple H.
Wait, X-Pac went in individually?
No, he went in with the NWO and he went in with DX.
DX, yeah.
He went in with the NWO? Yes. The NWO should have just been 3 guys.
Nope. He doesn't say no to appearances, so he was there twice.
Oh, my God.
And so we have one more?
There's two more guys that went in individually and then went in with a group.
And then went in with a group.
Or a tag team for one of them.
So you said Scott Hall, right? Because he went in twice.
Yes. Yeah.
Blair,
yeah,
HBK, Hall, and Hogan, Nash. Hall, and Nash all off the board.
Give us a hint. His 80s?
No, both 90s, 2000. Both still with us. Both guys we see around.
Oh, see around. Okay.
Yeah.
Nation of Domination didn't get in there, would it? Did Ron Simmons get in? Ron Simmons get in individually?
I don't know. The Nation would be a good one. Now that you throw that out there.
Did Ron get in, though, as with Bradshaw?
I don't.
The APA? Wait, so the APA's in together? So is JBL in twice? Is JBL in twice?
No.
And Ron Simmons is not in there twice.
No, Ron went in with JBL.
Okay, just one. Okay, one time. Okay.
So the other two are Booker T.
For he went in
individually Harlem. And with Harlem Heat.
Okay.
And Bret Hart.
For okay.
He went in individually and then he went in with Anvil.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, makes sense. So,
Triple H becomes number 10 of that class, and that's why I feel like the whole double inductee thing has sort of run its course now. Like, it was special the first couple of times. Now it's like, all right, we don't need to see this anymore.
No, I mean, I still maintain Mick Foley should be in there 3 times, but that's just me. Maybe that's just, you know, again, one of my favorite Rumble gimmicks of all time, but maybe I'm just taking it too far.
He wants Dude Love in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah.
I love Dude Love.
Yeah, right?
It's just so strange for the time. It's like such a 70s gimmick. And I'm just like, you know what? It was over with me.
That's it worked.
There's some controversy. I like Dude Love more than Cactus Jack. How about that?
Whoa.
Yeah. That is a hot take.
That is a hot take. Cactus Jack was regional. He did some weird, some wild stuff.
I just saw the promo this week of the when he came back to face Hunter at the Rumble. That worked.
What if he was Dude Love doing that? Maybe not as much, right?
I don't think Triple H would have been as scared of Dude Love.
Right.
Love that. I love that gimmick. That was fun.
Yeah.
That was fun. That's some great names there. Yeah, when you laid it out there, that's pretty good. I like those names. But but I still believe that he knew. I mean, it's WWE. There's no secrets.
Right. And it's just even more amusing because it's the same guy who said he has to be forced to be out there in front of the people. You know, he's voicing everything. He's in front and center. The first one you see on so many shows. I think he likes it.
Again, he's probably chasing. I mean, his career ended before he wanted it to. His career, you know. So you're trying to chase and fill. I get it.
I just need, if you're just going to be pushing wrestlers and wrestlers won't push you back because you have a heart condition, he needs a package pile driver by Kevin Owens, Triple H, just one time. You want some drama?
Yeah.
Put that on NBC. A guy with a bad ticker taking a pile driver. Oh, my God. We have to fade to black. Oh, my God. They'll have Spanish and English television then, boy. I tell you what. They'll be saying it in both languages at the same time.
Don't threaten me with a good time. I want to see KO package pile driver everybody. All right. Don't threaten me with a good time.
Triple H with a bad ticker. You want to see him go down. He pushed
KO, if KO loses, I'm definitely hoping he goes back there. And the first thing he does in Gorilla is give the package pile driver to Triple H.
He slaps those headphones off his head. And then, like, you know, Triple H is looking all surprised, and then he just pulls him out of the chair, and then it's a melee, a brawl.
I'm in.
Let's do it. He can't do anything about it, Triple H, so just beat him up. He's not going back in the ring.
No.
What do we got at number three this week?
All right, we talked Men's Rumble. Now let's shift to the Women's Rumble. Who will be the final four in the 2025 Women's Royal Rumble?
The only one I know for sure is Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Charlotte's definitely going to be in the final four.
Okay, so who is going to be the Iron Woman? Is that Jordynne Grace?
She's trying to make it seem like she's throwing her mom a birthday party, and she's not going to be available to be in Indianapolis this weekend. Put out the airline ticket and everything on social media, trying to really throw people off the scent.
It is funny. She puts that out there, and like wrestlers and just everyone in the comments are like, no, we don't believe you. Thanks for trying.
Yeah.
Ron Burgundy, I don't believe.
Yeah, don't believe. And the reason why we don't believe her is because is my memory bad, bro? Did we not go through this last year? Did she on social media was at one place and she ends up in the Rumble last year? Did that happen last year?
Her being a pretty decent surprise last year.
But she put out there that she was not going to be anywhere. She's going to be watching the Rumble or in a different city, and then she shows up. I think she lied about that last year. I think it's a gimmick.
And that's when she wasn't even signed by the company, when they've made it known she is signed by this company now.
Yeah, it's really hard to keep secrets in pro wrestling, especially when people get signed. Like, it's just, it's hard to have that shock value in 2025. Like, but this one was so poorly kept, they basically just said, yeah, all right, guys, we signed her. All right. We signed her. All right. We're not even going to try to surprise you. She's just under contract with us now.
So last year, also, they had two Iron Women. Bayley went an hour three, Naomi went an hour two.
So I thought maybe the most interesting thing that could happen is Charlotte is one of the final four. And then you have Bianca, Naomi, and Jade Cargill as the three. And you're thinking, oh, those three are going to team up on Charlotte. But then whoever attacked Jade Cargill weeks ago reveals themselves, eliminates Jade, and which I'm assuming at this point is still Naomi. And then you've got Bianca standing there with the shocked look on her face that she can't believe that this whole thing just happened.
Yeah, I just think there's been a lot of TV time for Io Sky lately.
Yeah, I had a hard time leaving her out of the final four.
Yeah,
I think she's got a really good chance of winning it, too.
The fans are behind her.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very much.
They are. Mm-hmm. I think people like Io Sky gets, her English is getting better, but I just think that people respect what she is in the ring. I think that she's going to be in that final four. I don't know where she's going to land, but I think she's going to be in that final four.
And the other one, I mean, we talk about surprises, like Becky. I have her in my final four. I assume she's in this match, and if she's going to be there, she goes a long way.
Yeah. I think that's a fair guess as well.
I'm looking around. It's a shame. Like, we're looking at this list, and it's like, okay, we're looking at I'm looking at the TNA list. I'm looking at WWE. It just it seems top heavy.
Yes.
It just seems like Charlotte and Bayley make sense. Mm-hmm. I think that Io Sky makes sense. I think that we're still going to get that Jade Bianca, who we've been talking about for a year now, that face-to-face. Uh-huh. Jade's going to be pissed off. Jade will eliminate Bianca. Something like that could happen. I could see that.
And that's the thing. Remember last year's Women's Rumble, which I think we all agree was better than the Men's Rumble. Like, they made some stars and they had some moments. But then, yeah, when you do this exercise, you go back to the Four Horsewomen, which probably isn't the greatest for the division. Like, I wrote down Charlotte, Becky, Bayley, and then I threw Jordynne Grace in there. But, like, I feel like you almost need a Jade or an Io or even a Roxanne Perez. Like, someone like that that is homegrown, that is your own, saying, hey, this is your chance now.
But Io's already in that upper echelon. She's been a women's world champion to me. So, like, in terms of having a woman in there to make a star, Roxanne Perez would make more sense. Jordynne Grace would certainly make more sense. Instead of kind of going back into Jay Hood's point, that's why I look at this and go, it's so top heavy. I don't see somebody who hasn't been a world champion in the women's division who's like, oh, this is the one right here bubbling up. They're going to be a world champ at the end of WrestleMania after they win the Rumble. This is just going to be a huge star-making moment for them. Like, I just don't see that. Jade Cargill might be the closest, but I don't think she's near being a world champ yet either.
Yeah, so it's funny, we talked about it last week. It's Tiffy, but she had the belt now.
Yeah, she can't be in the Rumble because also she doesn't have a match between now and then to drop it.
Right.
I'd like to know what Jade Cargill has been doing in this off time. Like, has she stepped it up? Like a couple of notches as far as what she could do in the ring. My hope is that next time we see her actually wrestle, that it's taken to another level because she's had a lot of time off here.
Yeah.
She's probably had plenty of time to be at the Performance Center working on stuff.
Yeah. I'd like to see what that looks like. I'm very curious with this time because they didn't have to do it this way. I mean, I liked what I saw with her and Bianca, but there's a reason why that they said, all right, we're going to prepare you for a singles run here. And I just think that the tag team was great for her because there's some things you could hide, you know, from Jade. But Jade's good. But
and when you look the way she looks, like when she comes in on a hot tag, like, you know, just throw a couple clotheslines and you look real good.
Right.
So let's throw Julia in that final four from NXT.
Now that's interesting.
Now we're talking. Now we're cooking.
Let's throw her in there.
Well, because she's probably the most main roster ready, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, doctor. You heard people. Because you know what? I've got three screens. I got the three tabs now. I got TNA, I got NXT, and I got WWE. So our girl, a friend of the program, Jada Parker, it's got to be in there, right? Great athlete. Looks great. I'm looking
through
here.
Is it a waste if it ends up being Julia and then she just goes back to NXT?
I mean, she's going to get eliminated. I mean, I think she should be.
Yeah, like Julia's not going to win the Royal Rumble.
Well, that's why I almost feel like you almost don't put her in there. Like Roxanne, I feel like is close to being called up. She's sort of been in NXT a while now. She's someone that can get that bump, and then you see her on the main roster in a few weeks.
Kalani Jordan and Cora Jade, these are women we see on NXT.
Right. Lola for them, Bite. That's fine. Like, you can do all that.
Lash Legend. I mean, she's huge. Like, it's going to be hard to get her over the top rope because she's a great athlete. She was in that main event on NXT at Center Stage on Tuesday. Like, women like that. Boy, I thought that the women, as far as the roster was concerned, it was a little bit more star-studded. Definitely is the men, without question.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Stephanie
Vitor. You'll get more surprises. You'll get returns. Like, you don't have a long list of, hey, this person can win it like we do on the men's side, but we'll get moments.
Stephanie Vaquer is going to be in there. Wendy Chu with her pillow. She might be in there for 2 seconds.
Chelsea will be a star. She's the one that takes the finishers from all these stars.
Chelsea Green, yep.
Yeah. Oh, Chelsea could be number one. Like, you could bring out Chelsea number one and have some fun there.
And every name that comes out hits their finish on her in the center of the ring.
And she'll take it like a champ. Right,
yeah. Oh, yeah. like our U.S. champ.
That's right.
They'll be comical. So there's going to be that mix. Does an Ava come in? The GM. The terrible GM from NXT. Did she slide underneath the rope?
She enters at 31.
There you go.
Come on, honey. You're 31. Like, I'm 31.
Oh, that would also be hilarious. But I just have this feeling that Charlotte's winning. Charlotte's coming back and winning. What about you guys?
I would agree. I would agree that Charlotte is the winner. But what does that say for the women, though? Like, Nia Jax has done a great job in her absence. Naomi's done a great job. Bianca's done a great job. Liv Morgan, they're trying to push Lyra Valkyria, and Charlotte comes back. I think that's the favorite.
Yeah, but if you go both ways, like, if we see Charlotte and Cena or Charlotte and Punk, yes, they're stars, but not exactly a youth movement there.
Vince is back.
Look around the men's roster. Where is the youth movement? They ain't a lot of young guys that are in the main event picture right now.
Carmelo.
I mean, he at least gets some big moments and he faces big names. He doesn't win, but he's there.
This is what it comes down to, though. This is Triple H likes his veterans. He's like his indie guys and he likes his veterans. And so at least the indie guys, like Jacob Fatu is a perfect example, coming from MLW. That guy, a star was made on Saturday Night's Main Event, what he did. Now, again, he might be 24 to somebody, but to us, we know he's been around for a while, but that's a fresh star. Bronson Reed, fresh star, even though these guys have been around for a long time. But some of these young guys, Chad Gable's getting old before my very eyes. Yeah. How are you still going to be talking to effing Otis? Really? You're still doing this, huh? Yeah. Still talking to Otis. That guy should be in a semi-main pitcher. Chad Gable, as good as he is. And he's just a joke wrestler, man. Just comedy. It's
Shorty G.
It's really something.
Yeah.
What do we got in news and notes this week, Brian?
All right. WWE announcing this week a new TV show coming to your airwaves. WWE LFG will debut on A&E Sunday, February 16th. It's called Legends and Future Greats. It'll be an action-packed competitive series where 16 hopefuls try to earn a spot in NXT.
So this is just the new...
Tough Enough.
Tough Enough. Yeah, this is just that is Tough basically Enough it. Rebranded. Okay.
Undertaker, Booker T, Mickey James, and Bubba Ray Dudley, some of the coaches on that show.
Oh, not Bob Holly?
No, not Bob Holly, no.
to kick the shit out of Capitelli? Oh, no. Yeah. That's what about good. Bob? Bob's not there? No? Okay.
I guess Bubba fills that role.
Doesn't feel the same.
I would say, yes, he can fill that role very well. Yes, he can. That's a shoot, brother. That's a shoot.
We've talked about celebrity wrestlers last week. Bad Bunny said it's a fact. He is the greatest celebrity wrestler of all time. Well, Logan Paul has responded saying, quote, I actually think he's right. Bad Bunny is a fantastic celebrity wrestler. Keyword, celebrity. I am a wrestler born, raised, and bred. Do not compare me to him.
All right. Well, just night one or night two. Which night are we main eventing WrestleMania with? Let's just go ahead and print the money. Like, just take all of it. Like, I've got it. I've got it right here. Like, just take it. Here's the wallet. Here's, just take it.
There you
take
go.
It all.
Please.
Just let's
take it. Yeah, please, just take it. Yes. 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 Whatever you want. Whatever you want. Yes. Please. Yeah. Whatever you want.
Whatever we got to do to make this happen. Again, if we can make it happen in Puerto Rico, even better. But, you know, again, I won't put that stipulation on it. Just it'd be interesting if we did.
We do have Paris on August 31st. Big venue there.
If we do that in Paris, I'm going to be so pissed off.
I'll bring the banner.
All right, there we go.
I'll bring the banner. I'll bring that. Will that clear customs? I think we can do that.
I don't think you have an issue with that.
Yes. Just give it. Yes. Absolutely. I love that trash talk. That means we're going to get a match soon, and I cannot wait. I cannot wait.
We have been, waiting for this. We've been waiting. I can't wait. God, if Bad Bunny, if Bad Bunny enters the Royal Rumble, like that would be the one legitimate surprise that you could do. Like that's the one legit, like you've announced 15 names, but if you throw Bad Bunny in there to start a WrestleMania feud with Logan Paul, oh, thank God.
My God.
Also, you get some good heel heat, like hit a Bad Bunny song, and then it's like Dominic comes out.
Oh. Oh, no.
Ring of Honor world champion Chris Jericho in an interview with Scott Fishman says Tony Khan has received streaming offers for Ring of Honor. Quote, I think he wants to try and expand those offers on why he hasn't taken any of them just yet.
So Max didn't want it? They didn't want the library? Okay. Okay. Amazon, I keep hearing the rumor and innuendo about AEW and Amazon having a deal. Maybe that's where he's looking.
Maybe. I mean, I know Amazon's looking to expand their library. I think some of the things that they thought was going to happen with Major League Baseball not happening. I mean, with happening with some teams, not every team, like that's still a mess. So maybe they're looking for other ways to continue to expand the content that they have.
Yeah, it just feels like there's no buzz around it anymore. Honestly, also, like, how about that become the world title Jeff Jarrett chases?
Fine.
The ROH title.
I think that's fine. Yeah. Then I have to report on it. Yeah.
No, not too old guys. I don't wanna wish that on Jay Hood. I mean, I don't want to see it either, but I don't want to wish that on Jay Hood.
Well, this is my assignment. I get it.
Finally, news and notes. The trailer dropped today. Dark Side of the Ring season 6 comes to your TVs March 25th.
What?
Yep. We do have a 6th season.
How do they have anything left?
Well, we got. Let's Big Van Vader. I do it for you?
But nothing dark. Well, Vader, again, Japan, lost the eye. Okay.
How many eyes have you lost?
I've been in this business 30 years, several. I've had several eyes poked out.
I mean, do you think they cover the match that he won on Boy Meets World with the help of Cody Matthews? Is that a part of the Vader? Should the Vader there. Dark Side of the Ring?
Lost some confidence in WWF, but nothing dark, though. He died of natural causes. Go ahead.
Didn't he get, like, I feel like towards the back end, I remember him very large on, like, indie shows or something, but I feel like that just... for the course. Tony Atlas.
Tony Atlas is foot fetish.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Can skip that episode. Good to know.
Ludwig Burga.
Oh, come on. Oh, my. Yeah, so during the Icro Pro days of the WWF, Icro Pro makes you stronger. God damn. Like, he was only in there for a cup of coffee in WWF, but maybe
he gets his own episode.
Something else happened maybe after his wrestling career at CD? I don't know.
Billy Jack Haynes.
I'll be watching that. What a weird effer that guy is. Holy smokes. He was supposed to be everything out of Oregon, and he got into conspiracy theory stuff and opened up his own wrestling company.
Okay.
Oregon Wrestling Federation. After his time with World Wrestling Federation.
Lawsuits. So it sounds like we got a winner there. How about Eddie Gilbert?
I'll be watching that. Hopefully that's first. Hot stuff, man. He was the first one with Missy Hyatt. Yeah. And a genius, and a wrestling genius, by the way. He's a smart guy, unfortunately, passed away way too young.
Billy Graham.
Superstar Billy Graham.
Superstar.
Yeah.
That should be two episodes because WWF champion. The old man, McMahon Sr., takes the championship away from him, gives it to Bob Backlund, was never the same, got into steroids, it crippled him, sued WWF. Remember, he was on Donahue and talking about how there's too much steroids and sexual abuse at WWF, and then welcome back into the company. Like, what a wild ride. And guys like Jesse Ventura and Rick Steiner and so many copied from Superstar Graham because he was the first one with the big muscles and tie-dyed shirts and the little thing on the head. So, yeah, he was a game changer. But boy, what a wild ride! That's a good episode. That's gonna be good. So you gave me like two.
Yeah, well, I have a few more. Daphne from WCW, and her life ended early.
Suicide, strange ending to her career in WCW. Okay, all right.
The original Sheik.
Wild, the Sheik from Detroit.
Sheik from Detroit.
Yeah, well, he was the Sheik. Well, he's original Sheik from Detroit. Before Iron Sheik, before Sheik got NL, Casey, and all these other, he was the original Sheik. Half Fire would travel. What he would do is that he would just bring fire to the ring and just throw fire in people's faces.
Oh,
yeah, all the time. And a fork, by the way. If he wanted to fork you into the forehead, he'd do that too. He seriously injured guys. He was a reckless son of a bitch.
Well, last couple, Muhammad Hassan, the WWF version.
I love that. I love that character, but it ended too soon. A guy from Michigan is like, I'm American. Why are you against me? Because I'm American. And he got so much heat. That guy could have been champion.
Yeah. And then finally, a Hell in a Cell. I believe just the Foley-Taker match.
Okay. So you gave me like four or five.
Yeah.
What are they going to do with the Foley-Taker match that we haven't already seen?
Also, when they probably can't use any of those clips.
And Taker won't talk. Not on the record. Maybe Foley will, but Taker won't. I don't think so.
I mean, they might be able, because that's A&E. Like, they've got a rough thing with, I don't know.
But this is Vice, right?
Yeah.
Oh, this is Vice. Yeah, this is Vice. Yeah. Yeah, they wouldn't be able to.
Because they never really show in-ring stuff. It's like the weird, like, reenactments they show in the ring.
Guys,
you know, I might tune in to see the reenactment of Mick Foley getting thrown off the top of the cage.
There's five that are solid, I think. Okay. The rest of them is kind of. Ludwig Borga. Daphne?
Yeah.
Vader?
Okay. Vader, yeah. That's it for news and notes.
All right. What do we have? Match of the week this week, gentlemen.
And NXT has got its own YouTube channel. Did you see that?
That is true. So I guess they're starting to transition off of Peacock in terms of streaming, because apparently this YouTube has like all the old pay-per-views and things like that.
I took a peek, man. Some early Corey Graves wrestling.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to get myself up to snuff when he goes into the ring this year. let's see. Match of the week. So we go to Saturday Night's Main Event with so Check it's Jey Uso. Well, Jey Uso first,
okay.
Right?
Okay.
See, I think you had three you could go here with. I thought there were three really good matches.
Jey Uso, Saturday Gunther Night's
main events.
Yeah.
Because Sheamus Gunther was really good. I don't know how Sheamus didn't break every rib taking the spear that he took on outside the ring. And then Fatu Strowman was like, even before all of the stuff at the end when it ends in a DQ. Like, the match before that was really good. And Braun Strowman deserves, I think, a huge shout-out for the way that he has put over Fatu. And even Bronson Reed before that. Like, he is doing a fantastic job putting on really good matches. And because he is who he is, like, him laying down for these guys is just making Fatu, made Bronson Reed before his injury look so incredibly strong.
Yeah, that was unbelievable, Braun. Everything he did in that match. And Fatu continues to see that star rise.
Guys, there was blood on Saturday Night's Main Event. Blood
there was
on network TV, and so a star was born with Jacob Fatu, because the crowd was saying one more time, one more time. They wanted him to crush
Braun Strowman.
Strowman. So that was amazing. So I'm sure. So I'm clear. Gunther and Jey Uso was the main event of Saturday Night's Main Event. Correct.
Correct.
Okay. So that I thought that was a great match. Gunther, of course, the he is the guy that just ends with a 7-0 run. And just ends your match. The way the match is laid out, Gabe, is so strange. Like, Jey Uso had all this momentum, and all of a sudden, he's just cut off by the Joker. He is pro wrestling's Joker. Just all of a sudden, quick 7-0 run, and then the game's over. That's like the match was over. Two suplexes, done.
They had me.
Really?
When Uso hit the spear and then climbed to the top and hit the Uso splash after the spear, I thought that was it. I thought, holy bleep, they're actually going to do this. They're putting the belt on Jay. And Gunther, to his credit, like, Roman has made an art out of this. Like, Roman in his matches kicks out at 2.999999, like, so close. And Gunther, there have been a couple of times where Gunther kind of kicks out a little bit early and there's not a lot of suspense. He kicked out at 2.89, right? Like, he kicked out at the last possible moment. But I thought after the Uso splash that Jay was going over.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good match. I've been anti-Jay. I've been very, you know, he's until the bell rings guy. I thought that was a great match. Gunther deserves a lot of credit there. But a great main event. The crowd was into it, and job well done.
Why are you doing that?
Well, I said I enjoyed it. He did a great job. I'd say maybe, I don't even know if it's an argument, his best singles match ever from Jay.
It's just such a backhanded compliment. I mean, you are a suit in this company. I understand that. But, boy, that's a compliment for the there. God damn.
Yeah, it was a great match. Suit.
You are such a suit. You tried to put Jay over, but you couldn't do it because you had to give Gunther the credit for pushing him into the best match he's ever had.
It's like Jerry Jones going, "Hey, I don't want to make this about me, but let me make this about me and tell you why."
You saw that one spear, which was disrespectful to the word spear. So, I mean, that happened. Ignore that.
Listen to this suit talk about him. You're the only one with a colored shirt, so you are the suit.
I do want to apologize that I meant Sheamus versus Breaker. Sheamus versus Braun Breaker for the IC title was really good as well.
That spear was amazing.
Nobody
is disrespecting that spear that Breaker threw onto Sheamus. And then also from last night to kick off Dynamite, Ospreay versus Cage was very, very good.
Yeah, that made no sense how Brian Cage did the things that he did. I was going to say, speaking of guys broken in half, JD and Dom versus War Raiders on Monday.
So WWE did a bad job taking care of JD McDonagh. If Michael Cole is screaming, in character, but screaming, "Guys, go take a look at this. I heard his noggin go against this table. Do something." And they just said, "You okay?" And JD, of course, said, "Okay." He wrestled with possibly a concussion, but definitely broken ribs.
Yes. He's out for a few months. They said broken ribs. Apparently, as soon as he got to the back, he just collapsed.
But that's now back-to-back weeks where they've kind of let somebody wrestle with a concussion because they were unable to with Dakota Kai. Like, she's out for a little bit because she suffered a concussion after taking that missile drop kick.
Come on, man. There's a lot
of... That was like within 30 seconds of the match that Jade Carter, that Dakota Kai got hit.
Yeah. Yeah. That JD McDonagh, then you stopped that match. You stopped the match. But I know that that's not aesthetically pleasing. It was like, I mean, it's amazing that he crawled back up to the apron and was like, "Yep, ready for the tag." You are? Like, oh my God. And wrestling like there was no problem. That's crazy.
Another tag match. You like your tag wrestling there, Hood? On a collision. Gates of Agony versus House of Black, or wherever they're going by now.
Yes.
Mini man there.
Good. Isn't there something like something with fire or hounds? Something?
I think there's hounds. They bark now.
Hounds of hell? Hounds in hell?
Yeah.
Something like that.
There's barking involved.
That was an interesting Saturday night in my house in the Hood Cave. You've got like the greatest segment, like probably of the night in Tony Storm, going back to Timeless Tony Storm. And I got Saturday Night's Main Event on the other one. I was just like, man, if people could only see what happened with Tony Storm, because I'm watching it live and I'm just like, this is great. Is anyone watching? No? Okay. Yeah. Just me.
They say the hardest role is playing yourself.
That was the best thing I saw on Saturday night. It was.
Bravo.
So good. Folks.
God, felt so wasted weird. On Saturday, but yes, so good.
Look, I understand you want to say it's wasted on set, but one of the biggest criticisms of Collision is, hey, make this important, and then they put something important on it. Like, I don't think I can complain about not making Collision important enough.
That's fair.
The same amount.
I don't know if I would have done it on a Collision going, you know, head to head with Saturday Night's Main Events, but again, that's
they did.
Like, you could have done it. You could have done it this Saturday on Collision. Although I guess that would have been spoiled because they taped that last night.
Yeah.
Probably wouldn't do it on a live one.
You got to listen. You got to do it when you can do it. Like, it made Collision watchable. The rest of it was just matches. It's fine. Collision's always fine. But that segment was amazing. The metamorphosis of going from rocking Tony Storm to Timeless Tony Storm. And now we look forward to something to see. That should be the main event in Australia. It probably won't be, but I think it should be. It's the best story they got, though.
Oh, I completely agree, but I feel like Kenny and Ospreay teaming up.
A good opener.
Timeless Tony going over.
Good opener. I love that. Timeless Tony Storm winning would just be awesome, but who knows? It's AEW.
That is fair.
That is very true. I'm excited about the Rumble. I hope everybody else is excited about the Rumble. If, you know, you get to the end of this episode and you're like, oh, what are some other wrestling things to help tide me over until 6 o'clock Eastern on Saturday afternoon? Comment, subscribe, check us out. All the past interviews, all our past shows up at youtube.com/@goodkarmawrestling. I can't wait to talk about it. I'm going to be giddy, excited. We'll talk about the Royal Rumble and who wins as we begin the road to WrestleMania next week on GKW.
A suit.